Hello, I'm Fei Kwan, and you're tuned into It's About Youth. As our reliance on digital connectivity grows, the constant need to be online has shown to impact our well-being, particularly among the youth, and has given way to what is now known as digital depression. How should we navigate technology now and foster healthier relationships with social media? Joining me on the show today is Kamal Hashni and Meenakshi Alagappan, both part of the Reboot campaign from University Science Malaysia. Thank you for joining me on the show.
Good morning, and thank you for us having here in this About Youth program also.
It's a pleasure to have you on. Now, firstly, when we talk about digital depression, Meenakshi, perhaps you can take this. What exactly defines digital depression?
So digital depression is a very wide topic, but relatively it is known as a mental health illness and issue that is potentially caused by excessive usage of social media. So as we know these days, all the youngsters, all of us, we own a handphone. Like, it's very rarely to find someone without handphone, right? So in this era of digital technology, digital depression is an upcoming serious issue. As we can see, many young adults are getting impacted in a negative way, but it's being discussed very less among the public. So that's why digital depression is mainly known for its mental health illness when it comes to high rate of social media usage.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And what does current research, I'm curious to know, what does the current literature say when it comes to the link between social media usage and deteriorating mental health?
So, based on the research and literature review we conducted, we found that actually the factors as bullying, cyberbullying, and then sexual harassment, and then social comparison, and other forms of violence are occurring in digital platform. Mm-hmm. That's become a factors why digital depression is happening. For example, based on the research our research department conducted in our Reboot campaign, we give pre-survey form to them to answer the questions. We found out that 62% that agreed that social media actually giving impact to their self. So which means they're aware that using social media and digital platform over or excessive usage is actually giving them a negative impact themselves, and they know, but they cannot do anything because they are so into social media nowadays.
All right, that's interesting when you say that they can't do anything because there's that need, right, to always stay connected and to have a presence on social media. What are some of the typical symptoms associated with digital depression then?
Okay, so as we know, we can see these days most people experience some sort of anxiety in their life, in their everyday life. And for some, it's just a mild and passing feeling. But for others, it can be really intense and persistent. So the most popular symptoms that we can see will be having low self-esteem and anxiety. But if we go through it in detail, we can see that having intrusive thoughts about being watched or judged by others, followed by avoiding situations where you might be the focus of attention. Not only that, fear of having humiliation or embarrassment. And last but not the least, there's also physical symptoms that relate to sweating, dizziness, or having heartbeat race.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So these kind of symptoms have to be taken note seriously because I think most of us have it, but we just don't know.
Yeah.
And not only that, there's one more common thing I think we all have to take note of, which is every single day when you go through social media, you tend to check your phone very regularly, very often throughout your day. So this is one of the very main symptoms that we noticed, lah.
I think I'm very guilty of that too.
Understand.
It's kind of second nature almost when you have nothing to do to grab your phone and to start scrolling, even though you don't necessarily have anything to do on your phone.
True.
We've talked about these symptoms, you know, largely contributing to anxiety, that fear of anxiety, fear of humiliation. How would you say this affects people's everyday lives and their overall well-being, Hashini?
Okay. For this thing, question that asked, there are actually two type of people. The first one, who affected by digital depression, they're aware that they've been affected. They feel sad, they cry, they always have the anxiety feeling. But there is the second type where they do not know that they're actually affected by digital depression because they barely know about the sign and symptoms. So I think I fall under the second category because eventually I am one of the victims who had actually digital depression when I was 17 years old in the secondary school. So when I dove into this topic, digital depression, and I found that so I also did have the symptoms. I also have the fear of missing out when I was in my school time, but I really didn't realize it. I overcome eventually at one point. So because of this, there are, mental health will be affected by four aspects. First one is by mental health. The second one, it affected on well-being. And then the third one, academic and professionally. And then fourth is social life. So when I say about mental health, an individual that been affected by digital depression, they always tend to be alone. They isolate themselves. They don't want to be have friends. They want to be alone. At the moment, they completely, utterly silent at one point. We feel like, why that person suddenly silent out of nowhere? And then there's another thing that we can find out, that person having depression, they always sad. Without reason, they always zone out. These are the symptoms that signs that one person affected by digital depression, by mental health. When it's come to well-being, they detach themselves from a relationship or from the loved ones, from the real life connection. You can see that person is so extrovert, suddenly they become so introvert. They feel like no more online activities. Because we can see some like influencers in social media, for example, and then they post a post or anything, and then the people that like trollers, they give negative comments in the comment box or anywhere, and after a few times, that person will not post anything. We can see like that person has already go offline for a long period of time because they couldn't take that much of negativity.
Yeah, it is very demotivating.
Yeah, demotivating, and they feel so depressed they couldn't even think about how to overcome that thing. So they detach. So these are the well-beings, and then we start to have a social comparison. Actually, social comparison, the word comparison is actually a negative thing because we compare ourselves to another person and that person's life is not similar with us. For example, I think everyone here compare ourselves with the celebrities, the influencers, the actress, everyone in their life. But when it comes to comparison, what we tend to do is we put ourselves a bit low and then we put the influencer or the person we compare to an higher spec. So it's make our self-worth less and our self-esteem makes so low. So at this point, the people that were compare themselves to others, they feel they're not worthy, they're not beautiful as the influencer. So they took so much of negativity by the social comparison. And in other end, academic and also professional will be affected by digital depression. Why I'm saying so is, in the Reboot campaign, we actually conducted an activity for the school students, which is Voice of JAR. What we do is we give a paper to them. They need to write anonymously what they feel of using the digital life. And you won't believe it, the amount of depression notes we receive is so high because at that age, they are only 13 to 15 years old, they already have a suicidal thoughts.
I see.
Because they feel that my friend didn't invite me to a birthday party, my friend didn't invite me to go to eat because I have acne problems. They intend to avoid me. At this point, I'm thinking, should I even born? That are the words from school, high school students. So when it has the thoughts like this, they cannot focus on the academic. They cannot go under future endeavors. They cannot have focus. They always already compress their mental health with this, and they cannot even focus on the academic. They eventually fail in the academic.
I see.
And then the last impact is, as I say, social life. We will lose the connection, face-to-face communication with others. We tend to be isolate ourselves. We tend to be alone at one point, and we really don't have the communication with family members. Even we go and locked ourselves in the room and then we cried. So this is all are the effect how a digital depression can affect someone's life in these different aspects.
It does. It seems to have like a domino effect on everything in our lives.
Yeah,
right?
And each and every aspect actually. Mentally, physically, in our social life.
Yep. And you know, all of that, and then it kind of leads one to sort of isolate themselves. And being alone, I can imagine you kind of go down that spiral a lot more. And there's this lack of awareness that people are only posting the best version of themselves on social media, right?
They don't even post like influencers. I'm sad today. They don't post even that thing. And then we intend to believe that they're having a perfect life. Yeah. But internally, they know. But we believe what we see at that point.
And we are not aware of what goes on behind the scenes, beyond the camera and social media. Now, you've mentioned, of course, your Reboot campaign quite a couple of times now under USM. And this campaign, I believe, was created to raise awareness on digital depression among young adults and to also encourage better digital awareness. Can you tell me a little bit more about what spurred this campaign and how has its progress been so far?
Okay, so far throughout this campaign, we've had a few events and also road shows and road tours. I'll start with the road tours, and we had road tours in few high schools in Penang where my team members, we visited a few schools such as SMK Bukit Gambir, SMK Tunku Puan Habsha, SMK St. Xavier, SMK Abdullah Munshi and also SMK Hamid Khan. So when they went to these schools, they conducted a few activities with the high school students and also they managed to collect data from them. And this data has helped us to do research with our program and how we can further enhance their problems through our podcast session as mentioned by my friend. The podcast session has been recorded just 1 week ago.
Okay.
And that's when we discussed about all the issues. We just picked a few sticky notes from the students and then we were speaking about it in a podcast session called Paw Out of the Jar. And for this podcast session, we had Dr. Chui Wang Tink from the School of Social Science. She's a lecturer there and she came in to help us out and we were discussing about this issue. This podcast will be released real soon, if not today, maybe tomorrow. And we believe that this is a good initiative from the Reboot campaign team to increase the awareness regarding digital depression and also bring out students' problem out there. But one thing is we took all the problems anonymously, so which means we don't know who they are, but we have written down their mm-hmm. problems lah, to give them a small solution.
Yeah.
And not only that, we even went for road shows at Queen's Front and also Padang Kota area in Penang. And there my team members did play games such as Myth and Fact to enhance the knowledge regarding digital depression among public. And my research team has told us that it seems public, most of them are quite new to this topic. And some of them even visited the booth we kept there out of curiosity because they don't really know the existence of this problem. They maybe know depression, but they don't know what is digital depression. So we do feel a little proud because I think we are slowly educating people out there, no matter they are students or even parents, but it's important to keep educating one another.
Yeah.
And not only that, the research team also told us that there are some public who volunteered themselves out of curiosity and attraction due to the mascots we had in our booth. And followed by, we had Pixel Free Serenity, where art gallery and meditation yoga was conducted by our team members inside campus. And the reason why we chose meditation yoga is because, based on the research, health experts do recommend that yoga is very much a promoting activity that we can do at home because it helps with relaxation. And yoga meditation is also known to reduce anger, anxiety and stress among individuals.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why we took the initiative to promote practice of yoga and meditation among students. And around 200 students came in to visit the art gallery on their respective day and around 50 of them participated in the yoga meditation. Both of these events happened in the same day. And for the art gallery, the reason why we had this art gallery going on is because we wanted to enhance the knowledge regarding the importance of art and how art can calm our mind. And so for this event, we had Dr. Mumtaz Begum from School of Arts who came in to give a small talk and share her thoughts regarding this topic.
That's great. It's massive efforts actually on both your parts. And I think you're right to say you should be very proud that you're spreading awareness on this. And from what I hear, what I understand, there are people who still aren't aware of symptoms. They,
exactly.
They're aware of the term depression. They're not sure if it's affecting them themselves. How do you think that we can work towards more open discussions on mental health issues, especially what's affecting our youth? Because, you know, not having these discussions, the lack of awareness is what's preventing people from accessing support services mm-hmm. in the first place, right?
Yeah.
Hashini, you want to take this?
Yeah, sure. So there is a lot of steps we can take actually to have an open conversation because there is already a stigma that's sticking whereby a person is having a depression or stress, we started to label them. And not with a good words, actually, they are like, that person is actually mental, isn't it? So the terms like the labeling actually become a boundary, a blockage for that person to overcome it and to tell to the person how they feel. So at one point, so what we can do is actually we can give resources to whom they can actually can contact to get having the open conversation. There are actually a lot of space and resources that people are not even know that they can actually contact them. For example, Befrienders. Befrienders is actually our main collaborator as well. So Befrienders is what their motive and VC and mission is to help them having open conversation without judging, and they can have 24 hours online system. So which means we can call the dial them, and then we can talk it out whatever problems we have. They will give free consultation. They will give free consultation, and even they can even have a DAS test, which is for can help us to know our stress level. Mm. And they, if your stress level is very high, they even can eventually give us advices. So there are around like 9 branches in Malaysia, the Befrienders, that we actually can go and personally walk in as well to talk it out, to let them know that how we feel. Because at one point, each person that affected by digital depression needs someone to talk about it. They maybe not be comfortable with their inner circle because they feel that person might judge them. You might judge me what I'm going to feel. So you can go to the resources like this. They might help us.
Mm-hmm. Having a third party look yes. at it without fear of judgment, I think yeah. that's very crucial. With digital depression, it's kind of hard for us to detach ourselves from social media because there's this growing necessity to always stay connected. Considering this, then how do you think we should strike a healthy balance between our usage of social media, and is there a way to kind of draw better boundaries to maintain a healthy relationship with the internet, Mina?
Yeah, sure. When it comes to boundaries, I think all of us, we need to set our own boundaries first when it comes to using handphones. Now, let's just say our bedtime every day is 11 p.m. So maybe we shouldn't use our handphones after bedtime, past
it's
bedtime.
It's very hard.
Yes. And also we need to make sure we do not reply to any WhatsApp messages, because I think it's important to have a rule, a thumb rule for our own self, to have a proper screening time every single day. Mm-hmm. It's a little hard due to our work-life balance. And also I think after the pandemic, it has become really bad because we are depending on technology solely to work and also to mm-hmm. study.
Yeah, the lines but are blurred a little
yes,
bit.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. But I think this digital usage screening time is very important, and we have to take note of it. It's on us how we want to use it. But I think if you use it in the moderate way, it will be a great help for you. But when it comes to children, it's a bit hard to talk about it, because I think parents have to take up the role to educate them. Parents at home, they have to act like a model, a technology model behavior. They have to show a proper model to their kids, because I think kids are great mimics, right? They usually just copy exactly what their parents do. And nowadays, I think all of us, we notice kids below 5 years old are being exposed to handphones, and then they are not really focusing on speaking skills, two-way communication, and that will definitely cause a negative impact in their future. So I think parents, they have to take important note on this matter. They have to start educating their kids and make sure they spend more time with them verbally. Mm-hmm. I think maybe instead of giving them a phone to distract their attention while feeding them food, maybe parents can sit with them and watch a television show. This will increase the communication, and also I think kids, they tend to learn faster through two-way communication than passive listening and one-way interaction. And not only that, parents can also control their kids' behavior from getting tempted from using the phone by, for example, charging their handphones outside of their bedroom. Because let's just say you let them sleep and you charge their handphone beside them, the temptation will make them to use their phone without their parents' acknowledgement. Mm. So always monitoring them and making sure that the handphones are not near them is very important.
Mm-hmm. That yeah. sounds like it can be applied to parents.
Yes, true, well. True.
Hashini, anything to add on?
Yeah, actually, there is a word, hobby, which already extinct from our daily life. Yep. Because when I was young, we want to icebreak with someone. We said, what is your hobby? What is your favorite color? Oh, my hobby is reading books, playing badminton, riding bicycles. But nowadays, when you ask the question to someone, scrolling TikTok, seeing newsfeed.
Yeah, watching videos.
Watching videos. That's the involvement of changing from the real life to digital era is so drastic. Maybe we can pick up some hobbies to adapt our cut-off time, screen time in the social medias. And also, like Mina said, parents should have creating a free digital zone inside the house. Mm. And then they should more encouraging encouraging them to have physical activities, outdoor activities, yeah. Evening walk perhaps, maybe it can work, because exposure, too much of exposure actually leading this problem. So we need to have our self-boundaries to cut off the screen time. We should have our self-limit to use our gadgets in our daily life.
Mm-hmm. It's going to be hard to be very yes. disciplined.
True. Yeah, because we already indulge into the social medias and also gadgets and all that. Mm-hmm. But when I think back all the effects that we're having from the mental health, everything, I think it's time for now we need to aware that it is actually a danger. Yeah. It's a very serious situation that we need to take a crucial step, and it starts from us. Mm-hmm. The self-awareness must be there.
Then how would you say, how important then is mindfulness, practicing mindfulness when it comes to excessive technology use?
When it comes to mindfulness, I think, okay, let's just say we all have Instagram account and Facebook, right? But how important is it? Do we really need it? Is it a necessity? We need to ask back the question to us. If it's not a necessity, I think we can take a break from using social media accounts. It's not a must. You don't have to update your everyday life to people out there. I think half of them, you don't even know them, right? Mm. But the curiosity and the fact that everyone is having it is the one, the part making you want to have it too. And this is what we call FOMO, fear of missing out. Yeah. But actually, when you think through, when we were young, we were not taught to have social media. It's not part of our basic necessity. As long as we study, educate ourselves, eat, sleep, then it's good to go.
So basic, I think, survival.
Yes, exactly. But now we have made social media another basic necessity, but actually it's not that important. Unless it's part of your job, then of course you can definitely use it. There's one more thing I would like to add on regarding reducing the stigma. Yeah. We can encourage to talk about this issue more, like what my friend spoke. But I think many of our friends and family members are going through a hard time, going through depression. But the way we are approaching the issue is very important, because I think most of us, maybe parents, they don't really know how to speak up about this issue because it's growing now, right? Yeah. So let's just say one of your friends, they would like to let out. Maybe we should show a positive body language and react to it openly, because the research has shown that 40% of people who are going through depression are feeling ashamed about it, and they don't want to approach health experts because of stigma. Mm. So we, as educated people, I think we need to play the role to speak more about this on social media and encourage open conversations with your friend. It can be through chat or even verbal communication. But it's important to hear them out. Just be a listener, you never know, to get them back on the recovery road. Mm-hmm.
And at the same time, then, are there any specific resources that the both of you would recommend for individuals who are seeking spaces, safe spaces or support regarding digital wellness?
Yeah, certainly, as I mentioned earlier, we can contact the counselling and counselling services like Befrienders, Better Talk. These are the services of consultation that someone who expert in this field can give it, because even though they let it out to their friends, sometimes the friends cannot seem to understand what is the problem that friend is having, right? So we should have someone who expertise in this field so we can talk to them. And apart from that, we also have like digital wellness system by Google. So the Google will give you tips of how to use Google social medias in a daily life, and the tips of how to use it, not to having excessive usage. Mm. And there are also like forum and communities. The forum and communities, like in that communities, they will give experience, they share their experience, they give their tips, and by the tips we can learn from them how they went through, what they go through. So because of this, the person who not able to talk, having an open conversation, so shy, they can even see just the communities and forum, the chats, and they can even learn more knowledge about it. And there are also articles and also meditation apps that we can look through. So the person who are scared to talk it out, they can even eventually read it to get more knowledge. And also they can use these apps, like even for the iOS, Android, they have screen time, they have focus mode. So which means like, if you cannot distract yourself from it, we can use that app. Okay, 5 minutes, 5 hours, I cannot use my phone, just lock it up. Mm-hmm. So these are the things that we can imply in our life to make this digital depression affect our daily life in a very lesser way.
So the resources are there, really.
Yes.
Yeah,
just
but
fostering this conversation so people are aware of what it means. And it's sounds to me it's also like a mix, right, of having being able to approach your family members and talk about it openly while also seeking support from experts.
Yes.
Thank you so much for both of you for sharing your insights on the show today. It's been a pleasure having you on. I've been speaking to Kamal Hashini and Meenakshi Alagappan, both from the Reboot campaign from University Science Malaysia. My name is Fei Kwan. You've been tuning into It's About Youth. Thanks for watching and see you next time.